Welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast, where you'll learn how to structure terms and use various creative financing strategies to create profitable deals for short and long-term wealth. Whether you're a buy and hold investor, wholesaler, or flipper, learning creative financing will help you do more deals and unlock profits that you may not even know existed. On the Creative Financing Podcast, we break down actual deals we and our guests are doing and simplify the methods and terms used to execute these strategies. Now, let's dive in and create some terms.
Hello and welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Gallegos, here with
Jeff Rappaport.
And today, guys, what we wanted to do is a review of the basics, just kind of the basic strategies that you can use for creative financing. Jeff gets questions all the time about what would you do here or there, or, would you do a subject to, or you know, a contract for deed, those sorts of questions. And what Jeff always tells people is go back and listen to the first 5 to 10 episodes that we put up. And you can't find those episodes on your podcast platform, wherever you get your podcasts, like for example, on Apple iTunes. They only host 100 podcasts. So we have, I think, 120 or 125 or something like that. So you have to go back to our website, and all of our episodes are at our website there. So if you're listening to this and you're like, how do I go back to listen to those first five? Again, you can't do it on your podcast host or your podcast player. You have to go to our website where they're archived. So the website's www.thecreativefinancingpodcast.com. So check those out there. So yeah, Jeff, let's get into this here.
Perfect. And I think it'll be a good review anyway. We really went into depth in those early episodes. Today, we're just going to do one episode and encompass them all.
Yeah.
Okay. What are, when we're talking about different strategies, Jonathan, what are you immediately thinking of?
So I'm thinking of lease options, subject twos, contract for deed, subordination, and then all-inclusive trust deed or wraparound mortgage. Those are the five basic strategies that we've talked about, you know, this on this podcast the whole time.
And our lists are exactly the same, except I didn't include subordination. I included just trust deed and note. So when the property's free and clear.
Yeah.
So we can add subordination if you like. And all right. So let's really quickly, let's give a brief overview. Contract for deed, which also could be land contract, agreement for sale. It's this one's going to vary by name the most across the country.
Right.
What's the one underlying feature of this particular type of strategy?
So the underlying feature is that the title of the property is not transferred until this contract is fulfilled. So you can avoid the due on sale clause. A seller can avoid the due on sale clause because, you know, technically on title where it's recorded at the assessor's office, there is not a deed transferred. There is what we call a memorandum or a notice of interest placed on the property referencing that contract for deed, but title does not transfer. So it's a good way, it's a good strategy to use when you have a seller that is hesitant to transfer the property via, you know, warranty deed. And this is something that if you have in your tool belt, you can say, okay, well, we don't have to transfer the property up front. You know, let's write up a contract for deed or a land contract. And then when that contract is fulfilled, that is when that that title will transfer.
Perfect. Great explanation. What I want to cover really quickly, just so that this is a really good review for people, is due on sale clause. It's in every mortgage, basically. I mean, unless you create a mortgage privately. any conventional type of mortgage, any FHA, any VA, basically all mortgages have a due on sale clause, which means what, Jonathan?
It means if you transfer title or sell the property, that note is called due at that time.
They have the right to call that loan due.
Yeah. Right. And not everyone does. And there's very, very few banks or mortgage companies that actually do call notes due if title was to transfer. And then there's also some other protections where, you know, they have to have some kind of notice that title transfers, because they don't just go through their huge portfolio of mortgages and check title on every single property that they have in their portfolio mortgage note or whatever. So there's
every week, every month.
Yeah, they don't do that. So there has to be some kind of flag, like insurance was canceled on a property. They would get notice if insurance was canceled on a property. So if you went to buy a property and or you sold a property rather, and someone else got insurance, you canceled your insurance, but you sold it, you know, via seller financing, then, you know, the mortgage company will be notified by the insurance company saying, hey, you're no longer insured on this property. So that would be one flag. Another flag is a seller calling in saying, yeah, I'm selling my property. I'm not
cashing you out.
Yeah. I'm not cashing you out. Mm-hmm. So
one of the things that you need to be careful of is that even though the due on sale clause is rarely invoked, that you still need to be careful about it, especially right now, because interest rates are so low that banks aren't that eager to keep those interest rates that low. And as interest rates start to rise a bit, I would think that there'll be more banks that are calling these loans due, unless they have this big influx of notice of defaults, which most likely is going to happen based on where we're at right now and are still dealing with COVID-19, still dealing with quite a bit of unemployment, and all of a sudden perhaps loss of this forbearance and moratorium on evictions and unemployment benefits for that matter. So there are a lot of things going on right now, and potentially we have a wave of notices of default coming our way, you know, somewhere in the next 90 to 150 days, something like that.
Yep.
So, but still, you know, due on sale clause is something that you need to be aware of, and it would need to be a conversation that you have with the seller if there is potential for that to be invoked, because if you have that issue, it'd be nice to know what the plan is if that's what you got to deal with.
Right.
All right. So now we understand due on sale clause, our contract for deed, land contract, agreement for sale. The deed is held in escrow, so it does not transfer. Title does not transfer. In essence, we don't technically violate the due on sale clause, so that's one huge advantage.
Yep.
Let's talk about another potential advantage, and that is in case of default. So if your buyer was to default, normally you would have to go foreclose. By using a land contract for deed, agreement for sale, there may be other provisions in your state that will allow you to do what's called a judicial, it's a judicial forfeiture. And what that means is that you don't have to go through your state foreclosure process, and you potentially just go to court and within 30 to, you know, maybe 60 days on the outside, could actually retain the ownership of this property. So could be much quicker than your foreclosure process. And foreclosure processes vary all over the country. So you've got to know which ones that you're dealing with. You know, if you're in Texas or Georgia, you have a short time frame. If you're in Utah or Idaho, you've got, you know, 4+ months. And there's others. They vary throughout the country.
Okay.
Well, we've already talked about who will end up on title. Can we, and I know this is a misnomer, I mean, this is a big myth because I hear it a lot, is that if you were to wrap, which means what? If you were to wrap a deal with a contract for deed or a land contract, what does that mean, Jonathan?
If you were to wrap?
Yeah.
So you would take the existing mortgage. Usually if you're wrapping something, there's an existing mortgage in place.
There is.
Yeah. So you would wrap that mortgage and then you could do a contract for,
you're creating a new note that wraps around an existing note.
Yeah. Yep. And this goes right into, trust deed note or wraparound mortgage or.
And I don't want to quite get there yet. We're going to cover two more things. We're going to do this for each one just so that people have a good idea. So where I'm going with this, is there a type of underlying loan such as VA, FHA, conventional, that you really cannot wrap with a contract for deed?
Oh, I think you can wrap them all, right?
Well,
or like
you potentially can. You probably don't want to.
I mean, a lot of title companies caution against doing any kind of VA loan or FHA loan.
But you could, depending on the title company that you use and where you are, again, anywhere throughout the nation, you may run into some issues where a title company does not want to wrap an FHA loan, especially, and potentially a VA loan.
Yeah.
What you should know is that you can, and it is done. And what you need to do is probably go find yourself a different title company.
Yes.
But some of the loans that you will not want to use any of these strategies with, unless you truly know what you're doing, one would be a reverse mortgage, where someone 62 and a half years or older has gotten a loan where they're no longer making a payment. Their interest is getting tacked on to the end of the loan. It's basically allowing them to live there without making those payments, but they're giving up equity every month. And the only time that we've ever talked about taking over this kind of debt or wrapping this kind of debt would be very short term, where you could be in it, out of it, 3 to 6 months.
Right.
Another loan that you would want to super be very careful about are banks that make loans with where they also lend you the down payment. So in Utah, it's Utah Housing. It's where, the typical median to less price range, and they're willing to lend that down payment as a second. They typically will call loans due immediately when they find out if there was a transfer.
Yeah, and those kind of places or those kind of organizations are more diligent about checking up on their buyer.
They're smaller banks, they are looking for that kind of stuff. Who does this protect more, buyer or seller?
So the seller, really.
Yes. Seller's got more of an advantage. They retain the title, and they have typically a shorter time frame in case of default.
Right.
All right. So that's contract for deed, land contract. Now I think we can zip through the rest of these.
Okay.
All right. So how about all-inclusive trust deed or wraparound mortgage? Again, same kind of thing depending on where you are in the country. Some states are mortgage states. Some states are trust deed and note states.
Right.
What, tell me, does this violate the due on sale clause?
Yes, it does, because this is where title actually transfers. And so it does violate the due on sale clause, but there are some precautions that you can take. such as go get your own insurance, leave the existing insurance in place, use a third-party escrow company to make payments to the underlying mortgage. And there's one more I'm forgetting.
You could don't use a trust. You could use some different things when you purchase.
And then don't notify the bank or the
or the seller. Don't call the bank and tell them what you're doing.
Yeah.
Okay. And if there wasn't, this again, you would be using when there is an existing debt and you want title to transfer. This is going to be more the norm that most what title companies and attorneys are used to. If there's existing debt, one of these two strategies. In case of default, what do you need to do?
Foreclose.
Yeah, that's going to be your remedy.
Yep.
So if you live in a state where it takes 4 months to foreclose, then it will take you 4 months at least to foreclose. Can you wrap all the same loans? Would there be any differences with any of the loans that we talked about previously with contract for deed?
Nope, you can wrap them all just the same.
Yeah, you should be. Who does this protect more, buyer or seller?
So buyer, because the title actually transfers to the buyer.
And that's right.
So there would have to be a foreclosure that would have to take place for transfer to be reversed.
Yep. So trust deed and note or mortgage, I mean, exactly the same as what we just talked about, except for property's free and clear. And so we're not wrapping anything. We're creating a new trust deed and note or a new mortgage. And we're securing the seller with that. So all the same things apply, right? Title will transfer. You would have to foreclose in case of default. There's nothing to wrap, so we don't have to even answer that question. And, you know, it's going to protect the buyer more than the seller.
Yes. And just to be clear, all-inclusive trust deed or wraparound mortgage is the exact same as writing a new trust deed in note or a new mortgage.
Except that there's underlying debt.
Yeah, right? Except with, right.
Yep. All right. How about subject to? Subject to the mortgage. I know this is a popular one. People love this strategy. Really quickly, what this strategy means is that you basically said to the seller, deed me your property and leave the financing in place and I will
service it.
You know, and people like to use the word assume. There is no assuming here. Assuming means that you are now actually responsible for this note. What the difference here is that you are taking over their debt that comes along with the property. The seller remains on that debt and liable for that debt.
Right.
First of all, does it violate the due on sale clause?
Yes.
Yeah. Subject to, the title will transfer to you, your entity, your trust, whatever the case may be. All right. In case of default, how do you get this property back?
Well, you have no remedy.
There's no recourse, right?
Yeah, so. Yeah, there's no recourse, and because you've transferred it without any kind of note or mortgage, securing yourself on title.
Yeah. So, some things that you should absolutely be careful of, and if you haven't heard us speak about this, we do it a lot on a lot of different episodes, is that my personal point of view is you don't want a wholesale subject to deals. And if you're going to do a subject to deal, you want to be that buyer or you want to be that middle person in between this deal. So no wholesaling, at least if you want to stay out of trouble. And you want to be careful about these because the longer the term that you get, you're going to end in run into more issues than you're planning on. Subject to is a great way of acquiring property. You just got to be careful. You got to make sure that you really have strong acknowledgments from the seller that they truly understand what is going on here. And it would not hurt you if you were to give that seller some recourse. When I say that, you could do the same exact thing as contract for deed, or you could do the same exact thing as all-inclusive trust deed and note.
Yeah, and we always preach on this podcast that, like you said, Jeff, don't wholesale it. Number one, don't wholesale subject twos. And then we always say if you're holding it for a longer period of time, so you got to think about your exit strategy here. And if your exit is, you know, I'm going to hold it for 10 years, then sell it, or 20 years and then sell it, it makes more sense for you to give some kind of recourse to that seller. And then you also need to be aware of the seller's needs as well, because what if they want to buy a house in 2 years, 3 years? You know, what if they just went through a bad, credit issue or situation, some kind of medical issue or divorce or something like that? Your credit gets hammered, but, you know, they actually have plans of buying a house in the future. Well, if you're still holding this debt, they're going to count that debt against that seller's debt to income ratio.
And it's going to be a little harder to prove with subject two than with, you know, one of the other strategies, just because someone literally just deeded you their property, and that third party escrow service may help, but know what you're doing when you're doing subject two is what that really comes down to. Does it matter what type of loan you take over?
Yes, you can't just take over like a reverse mortgage, right?
You could.
Or long term, anyway.
Yeah, you could, but that's not going to end well.
Right. So, I mean, you can take over any kind of loan that I'm aware of.
So the point that I'm getting at is that you may run into title companies that don't want to wrap an FHA loan with contract for deed or all inclusive. But they may allow you to take the property subject to.
Okay.
And if that's the case, then that might be the route that you want to go.
Gotcha. Good point. Okay.
All right. Two more. Subordination. Do you want to explain what subordination is?
Yeah. So seller subordination is just the seller coming in second position, really, or subordinating a primary loan. So if the seller has if the seller has a lot of equity, and they have a small portion or principal balance of a mortgage left or something, it makes sense sometimes to bring in go out and borrow money and record a first position, wipe that debt out, and then just give the seller another note or mortgage recorded in second position. Therefore, it's subordinate to a primary loan or a first position loan against the property.
And good explanation. In essence, it's allowing that the seller is allowing you to borrow against their property for the down payment, basically.
Yeah, by taking a second position.
Yeah, so they'll take their equity in second position. And if you don't understand that, don't worry. The subordination is a little more advanced technique, and listen to more of our episodes. We've talked about it. I think we talked about it last episode.
Right.
So subordination, would it violate the due on sale clause?
Yes. Yes. No. Yes. Well, if you're wiping that mortgage out, though.
There is no mortgage is what we're getting at. So so basically that property is now a private mortgage, most likely in the buyer's name. So correct, that you're not going to violate a due on sale clause with subordination.
Yeah.
There's no other loans to wrap. In case of default, what would you have to do?
You'd have to foreclose.
Yep. Who does it benefit? Who's in the stronger position, buyer or seller?
So the buyer, because title transfers once again, but the
seller's in second position.
Yeah, seller's equity. In second position, but they still do have recourse.
Yes, correct. Okay. Now let's do lease option. lease option totally different than what we've talked about. Everything that we've talked about so far has been about ownership. Lease option is not about ownership. It's more about control.
Yeah.
It's a rental, straight rental, with giving that tenant an option, which means the tenant has the sole right to exercise an option some point during a period of time that you agree to purchase the property, which means they may or they may not. They don't have to. It's their choice.
And this is one of the more well-known strategies as well, doing a lease option. And in some cases it makes sense. In some cases it makes, you know, it's probably more beneficial to do like a contract for deed. But no title transfer, so there's no due on sale clause. You're really just leasing the property to someone, and they can buy that property during.
We don't have to worry about wraps.
Yep.
We don't have to, you know,
have to
protect
go,
more.
Yeah, it doesn't even have to go to closing or a title company if you don't want.
Correct. In case of default,
then you have to evict them.
Which is typically, depending on your market again, most likely though, a much shorter process than foreclosure.
Yeah, most likely a 30-day process.
Yeah. Who does it protect more, buyer or seller?
Protects the seller because title doesn't transfer. The recourse is pretty simple. You just you hire a lawyer to do an eviction and you get the property back.
Yep.
And you get to keep whatever option deposit that the buyer put down.
Yep. Okay, so that's our quick review, and hopefully this is something that, but what you need to understand when choosing some of these strategies is, first, what's your exit? You know, what are you planning on doing with the property? Some things that you'd probably want to know is, what will your title company allow? Is there transfer tax, and, how much is that going to cost you if you were to do a closing or potentially two closings? Some places the taxes could have a big impact on whether you want to own or whether you want to rent. Yep. In some places you can get as much of a down payment with a lease option as you could a contract for deed. In other places you cannot come anywhere close to that. So these are all things that you'd want to know. But to sum up really quickly, this is how I would look at it. If possible, if I want to hold the property or I want to be the bank in the middle of the property, I want to get something that gives me title. Title is where the control is. When I sell that, I don't want to give that to my buyer. I want to continue to hold title. That would be contract for deed or a lease option. If you remember that, and that's all you remember, that would be a good place to start.
Yeah. Cool. Okay. Well, we'll wrap it up here, guys. We greatly appreciate your ear and listening. We hope that this is helpful, even for, even if you're an experienced investor using some of these strategies. Maybe it gives you an idea on using a different kind of strategy or a better understanding of something else. So, and we're going to continue to do reviews like this because it's always good to sharpen the saw, as they say. So if you guys want to reach us, you can reach us on our hotline, 877-409-8090. You can also text Creative Financing to that hotline number, again, 877-409-8090. And if you text CFP to that, you can get special access to a video that Jeff recorded on kind of a step-by-step approach to coming up with some creative financing offers on a single-family property. And he also takes you through the exit strategy of selling it to a tenant buyer. And so check that out if you haven't already. It's kind of a no-brainer. And then all of our episodes are at thecreativefinancingpodcast.com. And we're also on Facebook and Instagram at the Creative Financing Podcast. And guys, we are in the process of building a what we're going to title is a Creative Financing Academy. So it's going to be titled the Creative Financing Academy. So it's going to be a video platform where you can go through and learn these strategies in depth, one at a time, and then we're going to have a ton of deal structuring and then, you know, basic use of calculator. And then there's going to be a resource page in there where you can find all of your contracts, etc. So stay tuned to that. We will make an announcement of that in the future, and then we'll also have a link on our website for that, because it's going to be a different website to get that. But any last words, Jeff?
If you're interested in learning more about the Academy, call in on our hotline. If you have deals that you want some help with, I have not been good about getting back to people on the hotline. I apologize if you've called and I haven't gotten back to you. Call me again. I promise you I will get back to you. If you want to be a part of an apprentice program, we're working with people all over the country. This is strictly, this is wholesaling with the use of creative finance. It is not the creative finance program. That will be the Academy. Please, you know, rate and review us. We've now reached our 100,000 downloads, but to be honest, we want to be at 1 million. So but we've got to pick up the pace a bit.
Yeah, please. Okay, guys, until next time, go out there and create some terms.
Thanks for listening to the Creative Financing Podcast. We need your feedback to continue to bring you the best strategies in creative financing. So please subscribe, rate, and review this show on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. We greatly appreciate your ear, and please pass this on. Until next time, create some terms. This show offers general information on creative financing strategies and real estate investments. Nothing contained herein should be considered personal, legal, or financial advice. Every state has individual laws governing the use and type of documents used to execute strategies discussed herein. You should consult with a local licensed real estate broker and attorney before relying on any information contained herein. Information is not guaranteed, and opinions of the guests are their own. Profits are not guaranteed, and there's always inherent risk in real estate investing.